Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
As much.
You gotta hear that.
I got a girl crush. Hello, After Buzzers. You are watching the Jane the Virgin After Show on After Buzz TV. We are discussing Chapter 34 today. I am your host, Stephanie Georgie. You can follow me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie. And before we get started, go ahead and subscribe to our page below. Find us on SoundCloud, on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Let us know what you think so that we can bring you more. I'll be co-hosting with my lovely Sean Overman. Where can they find you on social media?
You guys can find me at Sean Austin O on Twitter and Instagram.
Excellent. I chose this song because our poor Luisa lost her love / stepmother / addiction.
Oh my gosh. So painful.
So painful, but I do have good news. Luisa, who is played by Yara Martinez, will be calling in today. In fact, we'll have her call in just a little bit so that we can start the show off that way. And as soon as we get her through the line, we'll go ahead and start with our questions. But today we see a nice little side of Luisa because she finally tells Raf that the whole issue with her and Rose and not being able to let go is because she used to be an addict, she used to be addicted to alcohol, and then essentially kind of replaced that with her obsession with Rose and pretty much couldn't get over it, which I feel like makes sense, you know? When you try to get rid of one thing, you almost always replace it with something else. Unfortunately, hers was love and her stepmother.
Yeah, and I thought it was so funny, too, that Raph, with, you know, his love for Jane was mirroring Luisa's love for Rose too. Mm-hmm. So I really liked the parallel that they both relationships had going on.
Yeah.
And they both had to, like, someone in the relationship on either side had to terminate it.
Right.
As well.
Gosh, it's so sad because we actually, I don't know. I mean, I finally have a realization, all my Team Michael fans, as far as this episode goes, you won. And I might have been turned over on that. So I do get that.
You see how good of a guy he is? Like, he put this whole plan together to get... And it was cool because there was a lack of dramatic irony. So we didn't know that...
Hey, everyone. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think we got our lovely lady on the line.
Perfect.
Yeah, yes. I was like, are you guys talking about Michael?
I was about to
Yara!
Talk about Luisa.
Woo!
Hey, Yara.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good. We're so excited to have you on the line. We are obsessed
with
your character.
To be here with you guys. It sounded like such an intellectual conversation about Jane that I was eavesdropping on for a little bit.
No, yeah, well, it started with you because we were talking about your character's addiction and how essentially you replaced it with your love for Rose, and just it's so complex. And you're a psycho on the show.
I know. I'm trying to remember. Okay, yeah, so I don't want to give anything away from the next episode.
Right.
So yeah, they brought up, I thought that was such a great monologue that they gave me about the addiction and replacing it and just not being able to let go of someone and how one thing replaces another. I really, I really liked that. It was such a dramatic episode, huh?
It was. And just so you know, so that you don't, like, go past it, this episode just ended pretty much with you seeing Rose being murdered. And that's it.
So yeah. And I yelled in the... Yeah. Right? Did I yell? Did they leave the yell in? Yeah. That was a crazy day because they put all of Bridget's stuff in one day. And her and Megan, who plays Susanna, had to, like, have all this fight sequence. I was super sick that day. Like, a bunch of people were really sick on Jane that day. It was such an intense day. And then it ended with that was the last scene that we shot. So
oh, man.
It was pretty wild.
Which we're going to get a little bit more into that scene, but we'd like to kind of backtrack a little bit and start from the beginning. As far as the audition process goes, how did that all start for you?
The thing with Jane was that it was so crazy because it's one of those things that just, it proves, like, if something's meant to be, it's meant to be. Because I went in for that audition, and I wasn't going to go in because I was actually a series regular on another show that was shooting in New York, so I wasn't going to go in, and then my manager was like, let's just go in and see if we can work it out, because it's only a recurring. Mm-hmm. So I went in, and I got food poisoning. Like, God, I feel like I'm going to sound like I'm always, like, a sick person.
No, you're fine.
But I got food poisoning immediately after the audition, and they wanted to see me again the next morning, like, at 8 a.m., which there's never auditions that early, like, hardly ever. And I was just like, I can't do it. I've been up all night. You know, I can't. So I thought that was it. I wasn't going to hear back, and they ended up offering me the part.
Amazing.
And when I started shooting it, Jenny's like, you know, you're going to die in the third episode. Like, that's what happened. And I was like, oh, no way. And she's like, yeah, you're going to die. You're going to fall out of a window, and you're going to fall on an ice sculpture. And I'm like, that's a great way to go, you know? Because I had another show, so there was no way I was going to be able to do both.
Right.
And I did the pilot, and immediately doing the pilot, like, just working with Gina and then working with Brad, so really the director and Jenny, like, I could just tell that, I don't know, it was something very, like, very special. Like, you never know when you get a script, like, if it's going to turn out as good as when you read it, mm-hmm. or if the actor, like, you just don't know. And just immediately just working on that, I was like, oh, this is kind of different. This feels different.
Yeah.
And then I was in Puerto Rico, and Jenny sends me an email. She's like, I can't do it. She's like, I can't kill you off the show. I want to keep you.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, yeah, I was, you know, I, like, passed on going back in. I was supposed to die in the third episode, and then it totally worked out. And I would have never been able to audition for it if it was a character that was going to be as involved, because the other show wouldn't have allowed it. So it's just something that just
totally fell into place,
which is crazy.
Oh, my God, that's incredible. A little AfterBuzz exclusive, that Roman Zazo, that was supposed to be your death scene.
Yeah, that was
that's crazy.
And I was like, oh, my God, that's such a cool way to die, because I've done, you know, CSI, and I'm like, I've never died like that. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that's what was supposed to happen. And then Jenny's just been amazing and working around my schedule and just really just keeping me, you know, with everyone on Jane. I mean, it's the best job. I love it. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
I feel very, very lucky that it all worked out.
Have you ever done a girl, like a girl-on-girl, like, I guess, a lesbian character, if you will?
I did. My first girl-on-girl kiss was for this show, Chase.
Okay.
It was a Bruckheimer show, and it shot in Dallas. And that was my first girl-on-girl kiss. And I was like, oh, I wanted to be really passionate, and I forget that, like, women are just smaller and lighter. Like, I went to grab her, and, like, I, like, knocked her into my face. Like, it was not smooth at all. It was totally ridiculous. That was my first one. And then...
Oh, well, you nailed it with this one.
Huh?
You nailed it with this, because you're unbelievably passionate with Luisa. I mean, your sex scenes are ridiculous. Super
yeah,
good.
Bridget and I, we really had to let loose, like, at the beginning. which is kind of, like, a great way to... I don't know, just to get to know someone, because it's like we really had each other's backs, and we're like, oh my God, can you believe that we have to do this? And we're like, how does this look? Yeah, it's been, like, there was, like, one day when we were shooting, you know, the scene that's with the fireworks in the pool, that was on top of the W Hotel, like, on a Friday night. They cleared it out entirely, but still, we're like, we're like wearing pasties and nude underwear. We're like, this is our job right now.
That's amazing. So I have my co-host Sean here. He has a couple of questions for you as well.
Yeah. So
hi, John.
Hey, Yara. So regarding some of the scenes that you've had, the great, amazing, like, lovemaking, sex scenes, kissing scenes, whatever, with Louisa and so many other female characters. Like, have you gotten used to it, like, these past couple of seasons?
You know what? I really have.
Yeah.
Somebody was asking me, and I was like, I don't even, like, yeah, like, it doesn't even, like, yeah, I don't know if that just takes the romance out of it, but I have gotten used to it. And there is something that's more just comfortable about kissing a girl, because like I said before with Bridget, it's like we have each other's back. And like, I mean, poor Megan, when we had to do that first kiss, I was so sick that day. Justin and I were so sick. It was like so not sexy. Like, I kept apologizing for her. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was like, please take so much echinacea, like, take care of yourself. I was like, this is horrible that you have to like deal with me today. And she's, you know, like, she's a woman, like, she gets it. And she was just so sweet, and it like made it feel as comfortable as it could, like, for me being so sick. I don't know, with a man, I feel like I couldn't have been, I don't know, like, just, there's more camaraderie when it's a woman, for me.
Right, of course.
Well, that's, yeah. That's,
but I have gotten used to it, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we can tell you're very comfortable in your scenes.
Well, it's just very believable. It's amazing.
It's very believable. So I wanted to actually backtrack a little bit and hear more about your career. So tell us how you got, like, started into acting. Like, how did you get bit by the acting bug? And, like, where did you, like, begin?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I started dancing ballet at a really young age. And I went, and I thought I was going to be a ballerina, and I went to Point Park College one summer when I was 12, and they made us take acting classes to help with the classical pieces, you know, with the characters, and I absolutely loved it. And then, like, you know, at the end of camp, everyone, like, signs your shirt, and they're like, oh, my God, see you next summer. Everyone was like, you're a good dancer, but you should really stick to acting, or, like, you're a great actor. And I was like, maybe I should take a hint. And I, like, just started in the summers, like, going to different programs. And I had done commercials when I was younger, and that's how I got into SAG. But my mom took me out because I turned into, like, a huge brat when I saw my first paycheck.
Oh,
I was, like, 8 years old, and I saw, like, I don't know, like, a few thousand dollars. And I was like, oh, my God, where's my money? Like, she's like, all right, get out of here. Like, I'm taking you out. Like, I can't deal with you. And then that's when, and then after that's when I started, like, you know, studying theater. And I went to a conservatory in Miami called New World School of the Arts that was very artistic, very liberal. And I thought I was going to do theater, and I moved to New York to do theater, but I hated waiting tables so much. I was like, I can't do this. That I moved out to Los Angeles to try to see if I could make a living as an actor. Because in New York, I was waiting tables and doing theater, which I loved, but the, like, how much I could not stand waiting tables didn't balance out my love for theater. So then I moved to LA to see if I could make a living, and I booked a series regular and a pilot that didn't go, but it was a big deal, and that's how I was able to get an agent and keep working since then. I feel really lucky.
Well, so since, and
I've done a lot of pilots that haven't gone. I've done like 10 pilots that haven't aired, which is crazy.
So for the last, like, you've been out here in LA for maybe about 10 years now, since 2006?
Yeah, 10 years.
Yes.
I mean, I've worked in New York a few times. I've gone back and forth, and there was a time that I worked in Austin, but yeah, LA has been my home base for 10 years.
It's so fascinating, like, how every time I look at anybody's, like, pretty much their resume, their IMDb credits, like, I always see it's like 10 years is, it's like the key thing. Like, some people, they get started, you know, maybe they get lucky, but it's always like you just
gotta
stick with it.
Yeah, you really have to, like, put in the hours. It really... it's crazy, because it's just, I mean, people don't realize it. Like, it's so funny, when I go back home, like, my family's like, let me ask you something, why aren't you in this Martin Scorsese film? And I'm like, oh, thanks, I've never thought about that, you know, like, people don't get that, it's really, I mean, just to get an agent, like, when I got an agent, that was, like, a victory in itself, because mm-hmm. it's impossible just to even get in a room, and then once you have an agent, that doesn't necessarily mean people are going to see you, and it's, like, everything just leads to something else, and then, you know, it's a real, it's a hustle.
Dang. And you're Latina, right? You're Puerto Rican?
Yes. I like how, like, you got super Latina. You're like, and you're Latina, right?
Right, Latina. Because I had to just, because I was trying to get it out of you too, girl.
Yeah, I am Latina. I was born in Puerto Rico. My parents are are Cuban, but I feel Cuba Rican.
Okay,
because
no, that's
my dad
great.
Lives in Puerto Rico, and I go there a lot. Which I have to say, I mean, Puerto Ricans, when I was there now for New Year's, like there were so many fans everywhere. It was really overwhelming and wonderful and really sweet. Like they're huge Jane the Virgin fans over there. It was really nice.
Yeah, I'm personally Colombian, so for me, this show was a little bit emotional as well. Just to see so many of you being so successful. I mean, to see Gina, you know, win her Golden Globe, and then to see character
it's
just
amazing.
Prevail.
It's just amazing
as well.
To have a show that represents, you know, the Latino community in a way that isn't like overly stereotyped
exactly.
and cliche. Like it's relationships and it's human beings and I'm just so proud to be a part of the show. You know, Diane Guerrero, who plays her best friend, is Colombian too, right?
I didn't. Lena?
Yeah.
Oh my God,
Colombian
that's amazing.
Also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, now mm-hmm. I'm going to be biased and love her extra, but.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. But yeah, she's Colombian. But no, it's been amazing. It's really just made a difference. I mean, even this pilot season compared to the last, like there's just so many more Latino parts.
I know.
It's crazy. It's really made an impact. And Gina's made such a positive impact and really just taken this part and not just from the script, but just in her life has just turned it into such a positive impact. It's really been amazing to witness from the very beginning. It's been really special to see.
Oh, I love that.
Who have you had the most fun working with on set?
Oh my God, my boyfriend's always like, oh my God, can you stop talking about Brett? Like, people don't understand how, mind you, Brett's like way younger than me. It's not even in that way, but I'm just saying, like, I'm always talking about how funny he is. Whenever I have a scene with him, I break. Like, I can't help it. And it's because of what he's doing in between takes. Mm-hmm. Like, he's hysterical. I don't think people know how funny that guy is.
And you've had so
he's the
many
one that
scenes.
Makes me laugh the most.
You've had so many scenes with him this season too, with all
right,
the undercover
the Mutter
stuff.
Case, yeah.
I like would love to do like a Naked Gun with him. Like I think it would be so. Like I think he needs to do something that's totally goofy because yeah. he's so hysterical. Oh my God! I'm like yeah, and I don't know. And it's just I tend to break with him. Like and he always has like really funny lines, and he has to say them very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, with me, like with my character, whenever I'm like talking about like sexual things, and he like has to confirm it,
right.
and it's just hysterical. Yeah, I have fun with. I mean, I really have fun with everyone. I'm not just saying that. I love working with everyone. It's a love fest on that show.
That's amazing.
I mean, Bridget and I have become friends. I mean, Ozzy, all of us have, really. We've become friends outside of the show also.
Oh, I wish. That's great.
Yeah, that's so crazy that
yeah.
I was looking on your Twitter and I saw the tweet you posted with you and Bridget, and you were in the hospital gown in the bed, and I was just and now we know the scene it's from, and I'm like, oh, that's like your last picture with her on set.
I know. I mean, it's Jane the Virgin, so I'm just hoping, you know,
it'll be a telenovela dramatic.
There's always like an opportunity for something completely surreal and crazy to happen. Because trust me, I was heartbroken too when I read the script. I was like, oh! Mm. I was like, no! Yeah. I couldn't believe it. It's funny, after that was the day that I was sick, and after that day, Bridget and I, we were hanging out, and Bridget was like, and this happens as an actor just always. The second the scene is done and everyone's ready to move on and, like, there's nothing you can do about it, you, like, think of a million things that you could have done to make the scene, you know, better in your head, you know? And Bridget, we were talking, and she was like, oh, my God, when I was going home, I, like, thought to myself, I was like, I should have fucking kissed you. And I was like, and usually when an actress, like, when anybody tells me that, I'm like, just drop it, leave it alone.
Yeah.
You know, like, you just move on, whatever. And I was like, shit.
See, she
should
right.
have.
I was like, or you should have, like, we should have at least made the attempt as if we were going to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't say this. It's probably, like, annoying. Because I
no.
That to the fans. But it was the only time that, like, someone told me that. And I was like, shit, you're right. We should have done something like that because it just all happened so fast. I haven't seen the show tonight, actually.
It was great.
I actually don't know how the scene turned out or anything.
See,
but I do remember also thinking that Bridget's amazing and the belonging and everything was there. so, but it was just one of those things where we're like, oh, just for the fans, we should have done that, you know?
Mm-hmm. See, that's where I kind of want to fight you on it a little bit, because it
wouldn't... No, tell me, fight me, go.
It wouldn't have fit into the theme of the episode, because everybody was getting cut short. Like, we had you going to Raph, and then Raph saying, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to forgive you. And it's like, boom, that's right. like, and then we have Raph with Jane talking, and it's like, it's getting rosy, but then it's just like, boom, sorry, I'm not in love with you, mm-hmm. and I can't return that. And then it had to be the same thing with you and Rose in the ICU.
There you go. You convinced me. And the second you're saying that, I'm like, well, that's the genius of Jenny Ehrman and all the writers. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. No, it's true. Just because I haven't seen the episode, but, like, now that you're refreshing, like, I remember the script and thinking, like, oh, yeah, everything was just, like, closing on everyone.
Right. Which was crazy too, because this your last scene with Bridget was confusing for me, because I was like, wait, was Rose really in love with her? Was that all real? Well, in fact, what is your take on Luisa's personality? Like, what did you have to do to kind of break it down as far as your like scene or your character diagnosis goes?
Wait, as far as like Rose loving me?
Or just Luisa in general, because I would get so mad at your character because she was all over the place, but then at the end of the day, mm-hmm. her issues were just 100% legitimate and real. You weren't just doing it just to do it. It's like, that's who you were.
Well, I think like, I mean, I remember for that scene, I'm talking about it with Howie, the director, I remember just thinking that even though, yeah, I was setting her up, still when I see her and like the love that I have for her, and just, you know, like if you're addicted to someone, it's like, you know, when someone's not good for you, but you just can't help it. Mm-hmm. Like that triggers every emotion in your body, and you can analyze it as much as you want. You can get all Freud on it. But at the end, you know, there is truth to that feeling.
Right.
And I just remember for that scene, to me, that was true, that when I saw her and like all the stuff that I was saying, like, I, like, was in that world. Like, I didn't play it, or at least in my head, I didn't play it, you know, that I was doing it all as a ruse. Like, I knew what I was doing there, but in the moment, I was in the moment with her. Because when I'm with her, or when she's in my world, she's, like, all I see, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Does that make sense?
No.
Because I haven't seen it, so now I'm like, I wonder if that makes sense.
No, it totally
but
does.
But that's the way, that was the way that I approached that scene. Mm-hmm. In particular, and just Luisa, I mean, Luisa's just, she's a hopeless romantic. She just means like the best. She still has hope, which is crazy, you know? She just has such a pure heart. So, like, whenever I need to go to anything, I just go to that.
Which is crazy. I mean, especially for you to say pure heart, because I definitely see that now. And especially there's a moment, in fact, the last scene that we see with you is Michael kind of looking at Rose lying on the ground, but you see yourself in the background standing next to Barnett, and you just have like a stone cold face because you're like, oh my God, she's gone. It's done. And that's when I was like,
yeah.
Oh God, like, ouch, you know?
Yeah, she was like numb. Yeah, I also made the choice that she probably took. They probably actually, this is when we were shooting that, and they were like, I wasn't in this like in the script. I wasn't written that I was there,
mm-hmm.
and then they kept me, and I was like, but where am I? And the writers and I spoke, and I was like, you guys, if I'm here, I'm like, I'm gonna be losing. Like, going crazy that she's dead. Like, I'm not going to be calm or, like, anything. And then we were, like, trying to figure out how to justify it just for the camera. And plus, it was, like, a late day. And I was like, well, she probably gave her a ton of, like, Valium or something to calm her down. And she was just, like, numb. And, like, you know, like, they medicate you to calm down. And you're just like, that's it. Yeah. Like, it's over. And in shock, essentially.
Wow. What's really... great about this show is that we get to learn like a lesson almost every time
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, and then mm-hmm. We get taught it throughout the episode. What's something that you've learned from being on Jane the Virgin, being part of this amazing cast, and just like acting as like this amazing lovable character that we've grown to know?
Well, there's two things. Not that I learned this, but like I just really loved the way they handled everything with immigration and Abuela and all that. I just thought like they just handled it so gracefully and are just putting like the word out there and getting people to acknowledge it, which I I just love that. And then I have to say, everyone on the show, and this is going to sound so cheesy, but if it wouldn't be for the fact that I'm on it and that I know it's true, everyone on the show, like, everything generates from love. It really, really does. And I think that comes through, and that's what people, like, are seeing and feeling. And, I mean, there was a day player, someone that just had one line one day on Jane, and she was telling me that Gina made her feel like she was coming to dinner at her family's house, you know, like, just welcoming her in, and that's how everyone is. And I think that just coming from such a loving place, I think that translates onto the screen. And I'm someone, like, I'm not a cynic by any means, but, like, if I were to hear me famous, I'd be like, okay. But it's really true, and I'm really getting to see it. And plus, just even seeing Gina on how, like, she comes from, like, such a centered, loving place, and she just wants to generate positivity, and look at the impact that she's had.
Absolutely.
You know, so I guess, like, the conviction that comes with that has been something that I've learned.
Oh, it's amazing. And, you know, I have to say that I definitely can't see that within the cast, because everyone we've had on the show, particularly the last couple of seasons, we've had Justin, we've had Brett, we've had Andrea, they've all said the same thing about just how loving the cast is and welcoming, and just everyone, I guess everyone was just really grateful to be there and everything else. And I think that's what makes this show so particularly special. So, I mean, I know this sounds super corny to say this, but I'm proud of you.
What'd you say?
I said, it sounds super corny, but I'm so proud of you.
Ah, you're so sweet. You're so cute. You just sounded like my little sister, the way your accent came out. That was really sweet. Oh. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I love Lisa. Like, I don't know. I really love this character. It's so much fun, and it's just really just been wonderful to explore her. And, you know, I hope she gets, like, another angle, and I hope she does. Everybody, so many people tweet me, like, you know, I just want her to be happy, yes, or, like, to find peace. And I don't know if that's possible on the show, but, I mean, I hope she finds something close to that.
Oh, we hope so, too. Yara, do you have any future projects that we should be looking forward to or kind of keeping an eye out?
No, not as of yet. I mean, Jane is my thing now. Oh, wait, I'm going to be on an episode of Rosewood. Oh, I don't know. I don't know the air date. Which is crazy, because they shoot on the same
studio
as Jane, but I don't know the air date, but I shot it while shooting Jane. That was pretty wild. So an episode of Rosewood, and right now it's pilot season, so hopefully I book a pilot or something, and I'll have another project, but for right now, Jane and Rosewood are my thing.
Amazing. And everyone can find you on social media at Yara Martinez, correct?
Yeah, Yara_Martinez, yeah, and my Instagram is Yarita Frita.
Yarita Frita. Oh, my God. I love that. Oh, my God. You just made me want to eat some arroz con tostones right now.
For real. Yarita Frita. That's my Instagram.
Amazing.
Very professional.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. We truly appreciate you calling in. And if we could have you on the show
so
and call
much.
Back, we'll make it happen.
Yes, thank you guys so much for understanding. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And it's been so nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for supporting the show. It really means a lot.
Of course. We love you lots.
Thanks, Yara. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
I mean, I have a crush on her right now, so.
Me too.
Yeah.
I wanted her to be in here.
I
it would
know.
Have been so nice. But you know what? It's so great, because I feel like with us, was that Skype? I don't think that was a Skype call, but it was, I don't know, like, for some reason, like, when they're actually here in LA, it just feels like they're a lot closer,
right.
You know? So, like, when they're calling, it's not as bad, but then when you're calling people, because I've called people in Canada or, like, New Zealand or New York, it's like, oh, you're all the way over there, you know?
Right.
But I'm still glad we were able to talk to her.
I know. I'm so glad that she made the effort to even call, because it was amazing. And
she was sick. You know,
yeah.
That's like dedication to, you know, us, the fans.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's great.
Well, we hope you all enjoy that interview. We're going to go ahead and continue with the rest of this episode, starting with our tripod of love, Jane, Petra, and Raph.
Oh, my gosh.
And we see Jane Well, we see Raph and Jane speaking to each other about Petra and about how Petra is just kind of getting out of control. She's very hormonal, which you're not supposed to say during the stages
not
of pregnancy.
Not to a pregnant woman.
And Raph kind of wants Jane to talk to Petra and see if she could help her out. Jane agrees to do so because Raph kind of throws the whole family thing over her head, which works. And, you know, that's why we all love Jane.
It's going to be Mateo's half-brother.
Exactly.
Half-brothers.
Yeah. And, yeah, so then Jane speaks to Petra, and they decide that they want to throw a baby shower for her. And Petra is... It's funny, because you see Petra kind of... Now that she has something to love, now that she has something real, she is getting better, but her personality... She, you know, she has her roots in her still, which is that ruthlessness. But,
yeah. A little bit of cold-heartedness.
Right. She's a cold-blooded girl, but, you know, whatever. And that'll... I think, honestly, will make her pretty much a tough mom, and... I don't want to say that she's right for wanting, like, the expensive things, but I understand that she has her standards, and that's okay as well.
Those are her standards.
You know?
Even if it's something that's going to give her a big hassle later on, like that
right.
nice, nice carriage
right.
she had for the baby.
I mean, and if you can do it, then do it. But it was nice to see Jane and Petra finally share a moment in regards to their honesty. Right? I mean,
yeah.
What
yeah,
do you think? Was that too
like
catty?
That. No, I like that at the end, like right at the climax of is she going to go to the shower or not, where they were just super honest with each other. And we even had Jane just be like, okay, I'm going to tear up this speech that I had prepared. Yeah, and I'll be really simple. Mm-hmm. And when she actually did give the speech, it's like, I don't really like you that much, pretty much. Like, that's
right.
It's like,
cheers to Petra for having, she's having two babies.
Cheers to the two babies coming out of you.
Right. No, that was great. And then the other weird part here, which I guess was technically necessary, was when they were finally discussing and exchanging feelings, and she mentions to Jane that her and Raph had kissed,
ooh,
had that moment.
Yeah.
And it was important to her because Petra's still in love. And like we mentioned the last episode that we spoke about how, God, that's all still there, even though I like to remind myself that at the end of the day, she still cheated on him with Roman. She forces Jane to go have this conversation with Raph. Therefore, and at that point, we started the discussion as far as the addiction thing and the realization.
It was good that happened, though, because mm-hmm. it brought Raph to the point where it's like, okay, this, I really have to tell Jane now how I really feel. Mm-hmm. And he ended up revealing that to her, and she shot him down.
Right.
And we needed for Petra to do that, to get this all going.
We did. It was.
You wanted them to get back together.
You know what? I don't know what it is. I get it, though, now, especially when Raph was just trying to realize it. But, God, Jane made it sound so understanding when she's like, you know what? My feelings have changed, and that's about it. Like, what do you want me to do? And you can't argue that. You can't say anything about it. And it was so sad to see Raph just understand it because he had no other choice. I don't know. It was really sad, though.
It was. You were tearing up a little bit.
It was. I don't know why I get so involved, but I do. And speaking of tears, we have, we see Jane. What was really emotional was her almost losing her virginity to Mr. Chavez, Professor Chavez today.
Yeah. Yeah. It was such a crazy up and down with her because she was going to do it and she wanted it to be casual too. Mm-hmm. And obviously he was on the same page, but he didn't know the big V was right. in the way. And once he found that out, and that there was a promise to the abuela, he was just like, whoa, this is getting too weird for me. Like, why would you just blurt that out?
Right.
I think I need to put the brakes on this.
Because it got really personal really quick.
Yeah, and that's a very mature thing for him mm-hmm. to do that. But I liked how, you know, it escalated the next night to sexting.
Again, with Jane's writing.
Yes.
I mean, this clearly shows that she can describe or really explain herself through her writing, because that's when everyone decides to take her more serious.
She can be a very erotic writer, apparently.
Exactly. And I do get it. I love that the narrator says when two professional writers start sexting, shit gets real.
Yeah, and you could see all the like glitter going all over her legs.
Which we all know what
arms.
That means. Tingle, tingle.
And she was putting her hands down south. I was just like, whoa, that's pretty sexy. This is like the sexiest I've seen Jane.
Right?
Even in this episode overall, when she was on top of Jonathan Chavez, she was just like, she even had her bra exposed. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's a really cute flowery bra that she had on.
There are so many boob moments. that Sean yes. noticed that I did not. Like, he was talking about Xiomara's breast when she was changing Mateo's diaper.
Yeah, she was really...
and I never saw that.
Yeah, she was really bending over. And I was just like, whoa, those are really nice grandma boobs.
That's so great. But yeah, so then we see Jane gets really emotional, and I'm happy that Abuela's like, if you started crying, and that's why I got to her, because she's like, oh my God, it really isn't. And as much as she may have said that she wanted to just get it done with, if you waited that long, it really is a big deal. Yeah. And I feel like if we have young girls watching this, I just want to do a little public service announcement. People always say, just wait for the right person. They never say, don't do it because it kind of messes you up later. Because you think about it too much, and it's not a matter of like, oh, the right person. It's more like when you're ready, when you can handle the decision that you made and giving your body to someone else and then remembering that for always. Because at the end of the day, the first person, regardless of how casual or serious it is, you remember it always. So I'm glad that she didn't go through with it and that it stayed where it was.
I liked how this episode was also about, like, honesty mm-hmm. a lot. So she was, even though she wanted to, like, a part of her wanted to be with Chavez. Mm-hmm. But then she was, like, kind of suppressing the part that wanted to still be with Michael, which she didn't realize was there. We knew it was there because we saw that flashback from 4 years earlier. But then, like, she sees him when she sees that cop, and she remembers. Right. She remembers the badge. She remembers the badge that poked her. Mm-hmm. And now she wants Michael to poke her.
I mean, and that scene was great when he's like, I'm a virgin, and I just said I wouldn't until I get married. He's like, I guess we won't until we get married. I mean, for him to have said that so quickly was just amazing.
Yeah.
So you just, again, we get to see the type of person that Michael is.
Are you going Team Michael now?
I'm not. I get it. That's it. And you mentioned something earlier that he's like, I mean, she might not end up with either of them.
No.
Which
yeah.
I can see also, but I do understand. Like, and here's the thing, though. I believe if we, like, were to watch one of the first after shows that we did, I think I was Team Michael before I was Team Raph. And my whole thing was, and I brought up Twilight saying how I was always Team Edward because I was always for the one who was first.
Ah.
So, whatever. And then I must have just fallen in love with Raph the same way she did. And then that's it. That's where I just stayed.
What I like about Michael is that he's such a good guy. He's always trying to protect her mm-hmm. and Mateo, too. And it's not even his son.
I know.
And the whole reason why he couldn't be with her, because he had to focus on the case.
Exactly.
He had to focus on the Sin Rostro case to catch or kill Sin Rostro. Mm-hmm. And now she's dead.
Right.
Mudra's out there still, but that's, you know, and maybe he's going to go after her, but that's not his problem anymore.
Right.
Sin Rostro was the one who tried to take Mateo away.
Exactly. Oh, man. Going back to honesty, we had a lot of honesty, but not so much between Rogelio and Xiomara. And it was really emotional because clearly Xiomara, she's 40 and she finally finds love. And it just so happens to be with Jane's father. And
she's an amazing looking 40, too.
Yeah, incredible. And, they have these moments where the big issue here is that they're older now and Rogelio wants kids. And Xiomara, she's... No, I'm okay. I had my daughter. I have my grandson. I don't want anything else. And it was so important to exchange that with him. And, you know, I'm happy that they did. And it was just sad to see Rogelio. I was so proud of Xiomara just saying it because, you know, people just underestimate honesty. It really is the best policy and, you know, it kind of frees you of everything. But what I want to focus on is Rogelio's Scientology video when he says that, you know, the person that I've always loved the most is my first love or whatever, and I've thought about her every day.
Was that on the same part of the...
He showed her a different video.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
He showed her the one where he's like, oh, Madame, which is like a woman pimp or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So that was crazy.
Okay, so he didn't show her. Okay, I get why. That's so weird that he wouldn't show that to her.
I know. Honestly, the only thing that I can think of is like, if I were to see that, I'd almost be sad. Because then I would think, all this time we could have been together.
Oh, yeah.
Had you just done something about it. And then I would also think, I don't believe you. Because if a man really wants somebody, he's going to do everything to get... Michael. He's going to do everything to get her. There's not much more we can say about Rogelio Xiomara, except for we hope for the best. And we'll see if Rogelio brings out more honesty. But as far as a man will do anything to get the woman that he loves, we see that in Michael, to go back to that subject. And he shows up at Jane's... effing door. Sorry.
Yeah.
And he's like, I love you, you know? And
wow.
And honestly, when he talked about Mateo, I couldn't help but think that, like, damn, he probably loves Mateo just as much as Raph.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing to see Team Michael emerging.
Right. And how can you...
He really is her knight in dirty armor.
Yeah. Tis true. Tis true. Oh, my goodness. And the only reason why I don't even want to argue this anymore is because that he's deserving of it. But that doesn't... I don't want to say Raph's not, but I mean, damn, Michael just really didn't give up.
No,
and,
he didn't.
You know, and he...
He made it look like he did, but it was only to protect her.
Right. And, just so that he could... protect himself, essentially, like his head and where he was going. And I feel like he was going down like this dark rabbit hole, and you know, he had to get himself out of it.
He had to go into the world of these drug lords, right, to go ahead and solve the case.
I know. I don't mean to wrap this all up, but we fortunately had a nice extended conversation with Yara Martinez. I hope that we spoke as much as we could about this episode. If you guys have any questions, please let us know on social media. We're going to go ahead and go into predictions now.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
That's how you know they're trying to kick us out of here.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's a possibility, and even with talking with Yara tonight, mm-hmm, that Rose could still be alive. Even though she's dead right there, how do we know that's really Rose?
Right, with the face changing and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, with all the plastic surgery going on. Mm-hmm. What? And just the way she was acting.
And that
acting,
ear thing. Too.
Yeah, that was kind of funky. Like, I understand that she was using it as maybe, like it was a communication from
right,
somebody. But at the same time, like, remember when Yara was saying that, oh, we should have kissed? Like, maybe, what if they didn't kiss? Let's just be in their world. Mm-hmm. Why didn't she kiss her? Why didn't Sin Rostro kiss her? Why didn't Rose kiss Luisa? Mm-hmm. Maybe because that is not really her, and she doesn't have the affection to show
right,
to Luisa.
She wouldn't have thought to do that.
She wouldn't have thought to do that. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, Rose could still be out there. She could still be alive.
She could be. I mean, we'll see. But my whole thing was that I didn't think that Rose actually loved Luisa. I thought she was playing her from the beginning because of this whole situation. So that moment between them did confuse
yeah,
me a little bit.
Yeah.
And should that not be Rose, then it would make sense that she doesn't really love Luisa. That's why they sent someone in to use Luisa's vulnerability against
right,
her.
And who knows with like social media and like mm-hmm, Jane the Virgin, like showrunners, I'm sure they're really paying attention to what everybody's talking about on
sure,
there. So maybe they'll end up bringing Rose back later on if a lot of people say, no, we're gonna miss her, like, oh my gosh, the way she died was just so terrible or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't necessarily have a prediction, but I have a hope. I don't want Raph doesn't have to be with Jane, but I don't want him to be with Petra.
He doesn't have to be with Petra.
I know. But then it just makes me sad because he has children with two women that he can't even be with.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just unfair because he can't even have any more kids.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, he's really great. He's lucky. He's lucky to have three after his cancer, but...
That is... They have a weird family dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to be a modern family.
Oh, yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. Where can they find you on social media?
You guys can find me at Sean Austineau on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to check out my book, City of Angels and Discontent, on Amazon and the iBookstore.
Excellent. And you can all find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie, and for the American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, tomorrow night, we'll be having some nice special guests on that show as well. But otherwise, thank you all so much. I really do hope you enjoyed the phone interview that we had with Yara Martinez. Again, please tweet us and let us know what you think. See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.